This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up today and using promo code GOLFSGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter our bonus contest. Five winners will receive shirts, hats, and a $50 SGPN gift card. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. It's that big amount of bets today. All right, D-Gens, welcome back. It's Sunday night. We have what was formerly known as the Honda. It is now called the Cognizant Classic Preview. I don't know how classic it can be, seeing I've never heard of this freaking company. But it's your boy, Boston Capper, with golf himself, Steve Schammer. Steve, happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you. I actually found out what Cognizant is, by the way. I was right. It is an IT consulting company.
No shit.
Yeah. No shit. It seems like that's the only people that want to get in bed with PGA Tour now is IT consulting companies. So
fucking BK's already in here fucking saying talk about that.
BK was, he had quite the struggle. No, he did not. He did not have him. he had quite the takes to me on Saturday. And it got to a point where I was out with the missus. I'm like, I'm not even watching at this point. Like, yeah, we both know what's going to happen here. Yeah. And it did, despite a very, very shaky Sunday from
it was a terrible Sunday.
Yeah, from Jake Drago getting cut in the first round and showing everybody that he actually is human. He's not the best ball striker in history. At that point, couldn't keep it off the planet. But hey, he pulled out a win. He was pretty nails around the green. He got up and down a lot, despite really not having it. Some of the you said before the show, some of those slow motion worm cams of him hitting the ball was quite ugly. Very surprising to me because I was told he was the best ball striker ever on earth, and it never could fail. But listen, you know, good job on him. A little bit of an egg on my face, basically being an ageist, saying that he was too old to win on the PGA Tour. In fact, it took him 7 whole years to get up here, and he's never really done anything. Congrats to everybody who had the faith to go with him at 40-1. I think, you know, 15-1 is reasonable, given how far he hits it at Augusta, and that distance is really one of the only things that matters there anymore. I think, you know, listen, if Cam Champ can finish top 10 at Augusta, I think Jake Knapp can definitely win the thing in his 16th start ever.
That guy, he was so bad off the box today. It was fucking unbelievable. Oh, he caught every fucking break. Yeah. Just fucking interesting. Yeah, all this means is that Eric Cole hopefully will fucking win this weekend for all the other slow fucking moving guys to get to the tour late.
You know what was great about him? And then we'll throw it to Cam, who has to towel a little bit. Yep. He was very relatable. So I think on the fourth hole, because we've all been there. When we had the case of the duck hooks, okay, yeah. You hit three straight. What do you end up doing? You end up doing the don't go right swing. Well, for me, it's the don't go left swing. don't go left swing. So yeah. Anyway, and then he blasts it way right off the pipe. Very relatable moment. Man of the people, Jake Knapp, you know, just showing everybody that he is human. Congratulations to him. 19 under, despite some very shaky ball strike. How about passion for everybody?
How about those asshole reporters who were like, just like he's talking to him about his grandfather and like clearly he's getting choked up and they just kept fucking hammering more questions about the grandfather at him. Like, fuck, give the man a break. Like, he's talking in front of a microphone. You can see he's getting choked up. He obviously misses his dead grandfather. You don't have to beat the dead horse. Like, fuck.
I mean, isn't that the media's job in order to drive, you know,
I guess,
get all the emotion out of these guys that they can?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
He was a bouncer. Did you know that? They talked about that for about
months. No, I didn't know that at all, that he was a bouncer. I didn't know that he was sponsored by the Anaheim Ducks.
That's interesting.
Yep. Didn't know that he looks like a steroid-upped version of Cam Smith because he wears the same apparel as him, too.
So I was thinking he was like a steroided-up version of Willie Z.
Willie Z? Okay.
Yeah, because he looks very slight. Like, you know what I mean? He looks super skinny, and then you get up on him, and he's nothing but fucking, like, skin and muscles.
Yeah. I did notice that. So they're talking about the tape on his driver, and they're trying to say, I think, like, for something with his aerodynamics. No, it's actually because he's a dirty liar. He rocks a Ping driver. And I don't think he wanted the little G425 logo out there, despite the fact he's got a PXG cover and sponsored by PXG. So I think
that's Dieter is right. Most pro golfers are square. Like 95% of pro golfers are absolutely
square. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a pretty big square, too. I just happen to make sarcastic jokes that my co-host finds to be very funny. And he brings out the best of me sometimes. From time to time. All right, Cam, do you want to tout? Do you want to come here? This is your moment.
Come on, buddy.
There he
is. What a Sunday. What a Sunday, boys.
It was.
Quite
the Sunday.
I mean, it's a little bit concerning what happened today. I mean, if he had anything less than a 4-shot lead, I don't think he would have won that at all. Like if he would have gone down, I think it was at like 13 where they ended up, or like something like that, where they ended up tying at minus 18 for a little bit. If he had gone down there, I don't know if he would have been able to climb back. Like, I don't know if he has the mental fortitude to do anything like in a bigger, big time field, you know, like if that was anyone but Sammy Valinaki, whatever his name is, I don't know if he does it, but we did it. The process, trust.
You did it. There's plenty of things I said before on Tuesday that probably would get thrown back in my face. I mean, just like the guy who said that I caught when I caught the Asian tour garbage, he threw that back in my face. So
What was that about?
I don't know. I mean, listen, if you want to go to bat for a tour with the best players, like 213th in the world, like go right ahead. But no, listen, that was a hell of a call, Cam. It made me look foolish. The fact that I put in all this effort to try and tell you guys what types of golfers to bet, and you just look at a data golf page and decide that that's your boy.
So, I mean, I couldn't have done it without you though, because I listen and I read your stuff. I listen to your stuff, and that kind of gives me guidance on where I need to look or like who I need to look for. And then I think I'm just a bit the biggest thing I look for is just who's hot, right? It's just like who can make threes in the NBA, who can make whatever.
Yep.
It's all about who's feeling
recent form, maybe.
Yeah, recent form. And I mean, if they're a good course fit, then that's a big pro. But like I said, I don't really do as much as you guys. I got really lucky, but it does take a lot of luck, as we saw from Jake Knapp today. He probably played one of the luckiest rounds you could ever have. And that was really the only thing that brought him home on Sunday. And I mean, I was very stressed out all day. Like I told myself I wasn't, like, it was just a fun call that I made on Tuesday. And yeah, I was like, I don't really care if I would, like, it pans out, but I was definitely.
How was Mrs. Kerr? Was she aware of your sweat?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She's always kind of involved. She's always like, so who are we watching today? And if I'm not watching golf on like Saturday,
she knows your bets are fucking dead.
Yeah. She's like, so,
we didn't go
losers this week, huh? I'm like, yeah.
I mean, listen, like you become a lot more, involved on this podcast. You are now probably an official character on this podcast, and you are a content creator. And I think you've come to realize what everybody has realized doing this job. It's way more fun to tout and get credit than actually get credit in your bank account sometimes. Right. That's a lot more satisfying to actually put out to the masses that you were right. But look, I mean, with Knapp winning, it's exactly what you would have been looking for here. Bombers do really well. I do have a little bit of a point of contention, that this was a long iron contest, and he was one of the worst players with the long irons this year. But hey, listen, small sample size, throw that data back in my face, and I appreciate all the kind comments you just gave me about, reliance on myself and, respecting my previews. But listen, I have two kids now. I've lost the magic with reading an outright board. So that just kind of is what it is.
I got four fucking kids. You are not allowed to use that as a goddamn excuse. No way.
Does that mean I have to have a third kid to get the magic back at this point?
Oh yeah. So to be fair,
Steve, financially, I would say that's not the move.
If there was any court like shot distribution data for him, and I saw like you know, his long irons weren't that good. I might not have bet him. So it's a good thing that Data Golf didn't have it on there. Like,
oh, they did. They do. You just missed the page.
Oh, really?
Oh, they do. I can show you that after the fact.
Hey, well, yeah. we do need to give some love to Golf Gambling Podcast former guest Carson Young. He chipped in for Eagle on 18 to finish T8, and knew, like, I forgot this until I saw it on Twitter, but he was first round leader at the Cognizant or Honda or whatever. Ooh. Last year.
Was so he?
Write that down, folks, because he's a guy that's feeling it right now.
I said some very derogatory things about him on Friday. I thought he was just wanting to go party and go fishing in the Pacific for a little bit. But hey, he rallied, postponed that fishing trip. Kudos to him, cashing a couple bets for me. Thank you to our friend Carson Young, who I've never said a bad thing about before.
Never.
I can't wait to watch him live in May again. Follow him around. We're going to get some fake mustaches and wear mustaches and follow him around. It's going to be awesome.
Love it.
Well, if he wins a tournament between now and then maybe at the Masters I'll wear the fake mustache. And
there you go.
No.
No. Yeah, I know. We're not going to get kicked out. These are not our tickets. I don't want to risk losing them or get them in some black ops prison. off of 13 there. So,
So last note on Jake Knapp, he is going to play at the Masters, and he might be like 5-1. And I'll bet him at 5-1. Is Carson really? No, the odds aren't out yet. Carson's not 20.
He's not 20-1.
Probably not going to be 20-1.
No,
he's fucking.
No, weird. I mean, like, no, listen,
it's Eric Cole week. It's not fucking. It's not Carson Young week. It's Eric Cole week. If it this is, fucking asshole can win, is. Eric Cole needs to get revenge for Chris Kirk. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, like, all jokes aside about Knapp, like legitimately, all that matters really to Augusta now is because of how much they lengthen the course. I mean, they just lengthened the second hole. So it's really is all about distance. And that puts you at such an advantage there. Yeah, like, of course, he can probably just show up at the Masters and finish T20 just because of how long he is and how wide.
Yeah. But from what I saw today, like, I don't think he's going to perform under pressure near as well as we saw Sam Bennett. Like, Sam Bennett is just going to be a guy that you only bet him if he's in like a feature group on ESPN+. If he's in any sort of feature group, he just thrives under the pressure. I don't think that Jake's going to be that guy.
I don't need that. I just need him to kind of hang around the top anonymously in the top 20 all week. That's good enough for me.
So. All right.
All right. Well, Cam, congratulations. Good job. You need to give us another gross play of the week on Tuesday.
I will have a Cam's gross play of the week on
nice
on Tuesday, and I will come up with some more ridiculous reasoning why I'm going to bet it.
We got Liv this week too, right? Isn't Liv this week?
We do. We're going to have a double show on Tuesday. So. But yeah, the only league I can really handicap now is Liv.
So. Well, what's hilarious is my sister-in-law does not fucking follow golf at all, right? Mm. But she does because she's over my house enough where, you know, she's watched a lot of golf over the past couple of years, like hanging out at my house on Sundays. She looked at, we were sitting on the couch bullshitting, and she was like, I don't know any of these names. Is this like not an important event? And I was like, yeah, it's not. And now these are what leaderboards look like. And I explained, it's just, she started asking me about Liv and I kind of went back and forth. And like, it's funny just to explain it to like a non golf degenerate, like what it is and what it means.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually was at the chiropractor yesterday and I was trying to explain to the chiro as my getting my back adjusted what the Liv versus a PGA Tour event was. And then he jumped on my back and that was the end of the conversation at that point. I didn't really feel like talking after that, but he adjusted my L5 disc back there. All right. Why don't we take a break and then let's move on to get to talk about Florida golf.
Let's go, baby.
Your passion and my nightmare.
Yeah, it's my nightmare too, buddy. All right, well, listen, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. The Pick'em game, where you pick your favorite players, you have a higher or lower stat total in the week's game for a chance to win big. Plus, you can win 100 times your money in a single night. And who doesn't love that? I like doing the spicy plays. It's fun. Unfortunately, I think underdog is leaving Florida, which me and Mr. Matt Gannon are very fucking upset about. But we love, and if you have access to Underdog, go ahead and use them and use promo code GOLFSGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. Don't forget to register with promo code GOLFSGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the artist formerly known as the Honda Classic. Pour one out to that really good automotive company that decided, hey, the PGA Tour is no longer worth sponsoring.
Unbelievable. They were the longest running sponsor, right?
Well, I mean, when you treat a lot of these sponsors like complete ass and put them on bad parts of the schedule, and, you know, it's funny that they did this to Honda, a very well-known name. They've been doing this to AT&T for a while until they finally threw them a bone. But yeah, Honda said, you know what? We got better things to do than sponsor this mediocre tournament. You know, c'est la vie. But it actually is kind of a decent field this year. Last year's field was absolute dog shit. Do you remember what Chris Kirk went off on as?
Yeah, it was like 25, right?
And it was like 25 to 1.
No.
And I think Sungjae was like 12 to 1 favorite at that point. So
yeah, Mush. But, I know. I keep forgetting my fucking one and done's. Mush. He texts me. He's like, "Make a pick." I'm like, "I already fucking forgot, dude. I'm sorry." Doesn't matter. None of these events matter. You just gotta hit two or three elevated events. It doesn't matter. Right. Nobody's winning because they picked somebody in Mexico.
All right. Well, so the big fish in this field is probably gonna go off. I'm gonna say like 7-1 is Rory's
Rory.
Field. Yep. Yeah. So former winner, he lost that crazy 6 or 7 way playoff back in like 2014. I think they're Russell Henley. When he made that insane shot on 18 to, I think, Eagle in the playoff, and then he lost after that. But and we'll talk about this in a little bit. Just because of the nature of this golf course,
lots of heartbreak for us.
Well, I don't know if I want to talk about that, but it is. Number 4 of my pain rankings is Shane Lowry lost because it rained on 18.
Unbelievable. So mad. And on top of that, I think we had Berger as well, who choked away the 5-shot lead.
I think you had Berger. I did not. Mm-hmm. I had Lowry. There was another one that was pretty bad. I think I had maybe Brooks when Keith Mitchell won. That was pre-podcast, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of pain, and obviously there's a lot of pain this tournament because there's a lot of water. There's a lot of ways to really screw up, and that's kind of why like you'll look at course history sometimes, and that might not be all that reliable here because a great example is actually Rory. So Rory won in 2012. In 2013, he was terrible. I think he was in the middle of a club change. I think he just went to Nike at that point.
Why do those guys go to Nike?
Well, I mean, good. Nike's completely out of the golf game now.
I know, because they fucking blow.
Well, Tony Finau, I think, still rocks a Nike driving iron. But anyways, he ended up hitting it in the water on 18 and just walked off the golf course at that point. Very immature moment for Rory McIlroy at that point.
I can respect that.
Yeah, 2014, he ended up winning. And then 2015, I think this was the one he threw a club into the lake, or maybe Doral.
Rory threw a club?
Yeah, it was either Doral or here threw a club into the lake, but he missed the cut by a mile here. So the point is like guys can have a really good showing one year, but you can get really exposed with bad ball striking and you miss it by a mile.
There's two really tough stretches on this fucking golf course.
Well, we'll talk about
one hole. One hole just sinks you. You know, like there's so much water here that two bad holes, you're not playing the fucking weekend.
Yeah. So, I mean, so there's a lot of water. There's a lot of water mostly in play for us, but there's plenty of water in play for them. I think technically 15 holes have water on them. I would say maybe like 10 are actually in play for the pros. Like, you know, otherwise it's really in play for our giant slice 50 yards right. But yeah, so some other guys who are in this field, Matt Fitzpatrick's in this field, Daniel Berger, Sungjae, who always plays this, he's in the field. Shane Lowry's in this field. Cam Young, who is still sitting on 0 wins, Got passed by Jake Knapp today on total wins. Very sad that happened. He's in the field. Justin Rose in the field. Eric Cole's in the field. So, you know, I mean, it's a lot better field than last year. Not the best field, but there's still some names for the PGA Tour's sake. Hopefully they can get some good guys towards the top to drive up the ratings because no one's really watching if there isn't. But yeah, that's the field. Let's actually bring up this golf course now. Dieter, there's no odds on the Cognizant right now. They'll probably come out tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
Yep. So this is PGA National, quintessential Florida golf course. You see a lot of water here. You know, Ann Sullivan probably could have had a lot easier time teaching Helen Keller how to speak if they just took her here. A lot of water. Here. Thank you.
Boom. What a
Helen Keller joke.
What a fucking reference.
Who doesn't love a Helen Keller joke, guys?
So yeah, I'm going to tell one. So I'll tell one that won't get us canceled.
Okay.
Because I have one that would definitely get us fucking canceled. So how did Helen Keller's parents punish her as a child?
They put a plunger in the toilet.
No, that's a different one that I didn't want to say. They put her in a round room and tell her there was food in the corner.
Oh. How would they tell her, though? They spell on the hand there? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Who's Helen Keller? Fucking Christ have mercy, BK.
We are old.
I know we're old, but anyway. Christ, everybody knows who fucking Helen Keller is.
All right. Anyway, so this was built in 1981 by George and Tom.
Can I tell you my favorite one? Sorry, you brought up Helen Keller. Did you hear Helen Keller's dog committed suicide?
No, how?
You would too if your name was nya, 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 nya.
Maybe we should just end the show. You know, just running the call. I don't think we can top that, actually.
I got at least fucking 15 Helen Keller jokes.
You know what? We'll do a bonus episode just Helen Keller jokes, okay?
Let's do it. I'm fucking right, down.
Fine. There you go. All right. So PJ National. Built in 1981 by Tom and George Fazio. It was built specifically for the Ryder Cup. And this was actually the 1983 Ryder Cup was when the Euros finally actually brought together a good team. A couple years before that, they incorporated continental Europe into it. Then they were bringing over guys like, you know, Seve and Bernard Langer and Sandy Lyle and Nick Faldo. And they actually only lost by one. This was a very, very tight Ryder Cup that was played here. After that, though, Jack Nicklaus, they got some new investors in the golf club. Jack Nicklaus came in here and put his fingerprints all over it. He redesigned a lot of the golf course. He made the aptly named Bear Trap, named for him, you know, the Golden Bear. I think he rerouted hole 14. And there just is a lot of just Jack Nicklaus in this golf course now. You know, this is a very quintessential Jack Nicklaus golf course. Tens of favorite guys who hit a fade. Hello, Sung J M. You're a former winner here. Also, just a lot of target golf. And that's going to be kind of a theme when we get into some of the stats here. You know, it's definitely last week in Mexico, that was when you could rip driver really wide. You know, there were some penalty areas that Jake Knapp was able to somehow avoid today with his loose drives. But here, that would not happen. And in response to that, you know, guys just kind of take their medicine, play a lot of positional golf, keep the ball in front of you. And that's kind of the name of the game this week is just keep the ball in front of you. You know, you're not really going to separate yourself off the tee a whole lot just because you're not pulling driver a lot. You're taking your medicine. And then it just comes down to how well you can hit your iron. So, you know, just a couple of, you know, instances where, you know, you just kind of take your medicine. We're out the opening hole here. Everything's really tight. Not a whole lot of room. You got a bunker here. It's about 250 carry. Water all the way to the left here, which isn't probably really in play for any of these guys except for us. You got out of bounds to the right, though. The only real prudent play is just hit it a little short of this bunker and set up like a wedge in, you know, and then there's a lot of holes, a lot of par fours that are like that, you know, either they bottleneck in certain places or there's a, you know, there's water to the left or right that these guys are scared of. There's going to be a lot more conservative golf played this week than at other, you know, golf courses that you usually see. Now they did make one little, there's actually two changes that they made. So hole 10, which is actually right over here, this usually is a long par four. Yeah. Well, for the Cognizant this year, they're going to play as a shorter par five. Wow. It's going to play, I think, like 525 yards. Yeah, I mean, Probably. I mean, you can definitely carry this bunker over the corner here. I mean, yeah, you got some like trees, but there's no water hazard.
That's not real trouble.
There's no water really around the green either.
No.
I mean, I think that it was one, I think that's the tougher par fours in the golf course, but
now it's a par five, baby. It's fucking super easy.
Yeah, you're only going to add like 25 yards to it.
Everybody's home in two. Eric Cole's home in two.
Yeah, you're probably going to end up bailing in one of these bunkers, and as long as you're not short side, get up and down. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty nice.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, another change they did make, though, was, I guess for whatever reason, they wanted to widen the fairways a little bit. So they added a grand total of 1 acre of fairway. And for anybody who has property, 1 acre is not a whole lot. And I can actually show you an example of how generous these guys were with adding more fairway for these guys. So let's go back in time a little bit. So this is the fourth hole here. They did this back in May of 2023. So you have a little bit of rough here before all the bunkers, and they remove some rough, and they add like maybe 2 yards. So I'll do like a little measurement right now. So this is still, you know, it's 27 yards wide. Before, it was a grand total of 22 yards wide. So still super narrow. It doesn't really change anything. I think they'll probably talk about that in the telecast saying, hey, we widened it for these guys, made it a little easier. Well, not really. I mean, this whole golf course is really narrow, flanked by bunkers and water hazards. Adding 3 yards of fairway is not going to change the strategy or calculus for these guys. These guys are still going to really tiptoe around the golf course. It's not going to incent these guys like, oh, now I'm going to pull driver. It's not going to really make a difference. So, I mean, so honestly, I'm not the biggest fan of this golf course. I personally don't. I'm just not a fan of Florida golf. I do stink at golf, but
that's because you're scared.
I don't really like golf courses. Well, Bermuda's one. I am terrible on Bermuda. But when the challenge is really just water, I don't really
feel. You say that shit, but it's, you know, it's fucking hard. That's the whole point. Like, the water is fucking with you mentally.
Like, I understand it's one of the hardest mental challenge. Guys, I understand it's one of the hardest golf courses. I tend to get a little bored by watching guys just plunk into the water for 4 days. It gets a little tiresome then. So, but I understand people like this golf course. I understand that there's the car crashes. Listen, this is a nerdy architecture take, but it can be a very entertaining tournament. It can be very fun. As a golf course, I don't think it's all that great, but hey, I look at this stuff from a different lens. But let's talk about the meat and potatoes of this golf course. Let's go down to the bear trap. That's what really everybody's going to be talking about all this week is this stretch of holes. Where the hell even is it? Where am I on this thing?
The left.
To the left?
Okay. Oh, my left.
Here we go. There it is. Okay. So,
those houses are stacked on top of each other. Jesus Christ.
It really is. All right, the bear trap. So, you get to the stretch of holes. There's a lot of water. Obviously, a lot of car crashes. Guys, if you're starting on the back nine, the split tees, like, you can be going along pretty good, and then they just run through a complete buzzsaw, 15 to 18, and it just ruins the round at that point. I think that's actually why when you do the first round leaders, you want guys to go off on one mostly because you kind of get into your round, you get into a groove, and then maybe at that point you're a little more locked in and focused by the time you get to the bear trap and kind of survive it at that point.
Maybe. I'll have to look into that because I feel like that's wrong. I feel like going off on 10 is the benefit for first round leader because you get.
No, I remember when we first started doing this exercise, it was all guys that went off on one in the morning.
Okay. All right. Okay.
It might not have been the last couple of years that I haven't really tracked it, but when we first started doing it, it was that. So anyways, all right. So 15, middle, you know, length par three, commands a fade, just like a Jack Nicklaus really wants, over water. Now the challenge with this and why the bear trap is so hard is there's the prevailing east winds.
Yo.
So if you're trying to hit a fade, it's just going to get caught up in this wind and just balloon and just dive into the water. So that's really all there is to it, is don't hit into the water here. 16, it's a really tight driving hole. Basically, you just got to hit in this area right over here. And then it's a really long carry over the water, again, into the wind. So if you're in this bunker right here off the tee, you see guys sometimes just laying up to like over here. Sometimes you might see a hero try and get it out of this bunker to the water. Usually they fail.
Yeah. They usually hit the bunker.
But yeah, like, I mean, most of this is just target golf. Hit it here, hit it here. Don't hit it in the water. Don't hit it over here. You're dead. Don't hit it over here. You're dead. And that's really all there is to it with this hole. So, and then 17, if you love 15, then you're really going to love 17. Because again,
same hole.
Same damn hole.
Same hole.
It is a middle length par three over water, commands a fade again, back bunker over here. I think this is the party hole, though. I think this is the one where
everybody. This is the party hole. Fuck yeah, that's where I'm sitting.
Yeah, I think this is the one that everybody's going to be boozing at. But again, like, same hole. Everybody's going to hype this thing up. You play the same hole twice in three holes. And then you play 18. 18 is a very popular template of Jack Nicklaus par fives. It is a double dogleg. This is also where Shane Lowry died a couple years ago when it started to rain. He died about right here.
Yep.
Because once the rain opened up, it took about 25 yards off his carry. Sepp Straka was able to hit it way over here in perfect conditions. And that's a recipe for losing an outright bet again. But double dogleg, difficult par five. The layup zone, if you're in the rough here, you're not getting home because you got all this water. You're not trying to get there in two.
Nope.
The only way to get there in two is if you're in the fairway. But the layup zone, you have all these bunkers over to the left here. It's really narrow. Like, if you don't find the fairway, you're basically laying up to this area. You got like 100 yards in. And the green is pretty difficult, too. It's multi-tier. There's a lot of undulation to it.
That Sunday pin position, too, is fucking mean.
Yeah, I think that it's like... down here,
right? Yes,
yeah, down. Yeah, it's like in this like little right corner left. Right here.
Yeah, and it's, well, that's and what it's made, like, and if you're up on the left, it's a downhill fucking putt towards the goddamn water.
Yeah, well, that's what made Rory's shot back in 2014 so great, because like he had to hit it basically in a pool.
Yeah,
you know, and he hit to like 6 feet and made it from with like a 5 wood. So, listen, overall, this is a tournament that's going to have a lot of car crashes. It's going to be a tilting tournament if you bet on, you're obviously going to bet on it, but because you can do all your handicap, you do all your homework for this thing, you get the perfect golfer. And if he gets in the water for a couple hole, you know, a couple times the first few holes, they're going to just mail it in at that point. There's really no recovering after that. Like, if you're plus six through seven, like, you're just, that's done. It. Yeah, done's you're up. Done. So, that's really the name of the game this week. Why don't we take a break and we'll go over like the actual like stats and leans of this thing. And then we'll talk about how you actually can survive here and maybe get a win.
I like it. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data into any parlay idea into the Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimizing tool to get hit rates broken down by leg as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which ones got value. So stop betting in the dark and join over 3,000 users researching Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. And for all you audio listeners, I don't say this enough, go over to YouTube, man, give us a subscribe. You get to watch our faces while we do this. You can chat. It's fun. So yeah, go give us a follow over on the YouTube page as well.
Okay. All right. Let's start with the GCSAA stuff. That's where I always start, just see if there's any main changes. That's how I found out about the fairway stuff. So again, like I mentioned, Tom George Fazio designed 1981, renovated by Jack Nicklaus in 2002, 2014, 2018. Average green size, 7,000 square feet. That is one on the larger ends, which actually is a big help to these guys considering all the walls. Water and landmines around each green, having a nice big surface is pretty good for them. Technically, number of holes where water's in play is 15, probably less for these guys in actuality because a lot of this water's not really in play for them, mostly in play for us. The agronomy. So we're on mostly Bermuda. The greens are all Bermuda, not overseeded at all. So this is Tiff Eagle Bermuda. So generally speaking, you can probably just get away with looking at Bermuda putting in general. If you really want to get specific about it, there are other golf courses that are not overseeded in that Eagle. So Kapalua's one. Albany for the Hero World Challenge. That's another. RSM Classic for at Sea Island. That's Tiff Eagle. Bay Hill is Tiff Eagle. The Concession Golf Club, which is a tournament we both liked.
Yeah,
that's also Tiff Eagle. Just let me ask you about there's. Go for it.
Is it dormant? So like where I'm playing right now up in Northeast Florida, like the Bermuda is all still dormant. Like it's not even fucking alive.
Yeah.
Yet. So is West Palm is farther south. So I don't know if it's going to be dormant or not.
Yeah. So it's not dormant. So Tiff Eagle is actually a strain of Bermuda that is a little more cool tolerance. It's why you don't necessarily have to overseed it all that much. Now it does come to a point where if it is cold enough, like you still have to overseed. Like I think Harbor Town is Tiff Eagle, but it's still a little too cool up there to not have it overseed. So it's overseeded. Same thing with I think Innisbrook is Tiff Eagle, but it's still a little cooler there. So they overseed that too in some years. Yeah. So that's something to be careful about is there's other golf courses that have Tiff Eagle, but they're overseeded when they play it. So it's not quite the same. Just go with those types if you really want to drill down with just those Bermuda ones. Otherwise, though, just use standard Bermuda. Click the little check mark. Make sure their golf course is actually accurate in that database that they're Bermuda, and you're fine there. The only thing that is not pure Bermuda is the rough. That has the ryegrass overseed to it. It's about 2.25 inches. Not all that penal, though. You know, ryegrass is only about 2 inches. You still get good contact on the ball. Not that big of adversity if you're in the rough there. Like I mentioned, the fairway lines were widened a little bit last year. They only added maybe a couple yards. Not going to make a huge difference. They also got a lot of rain in this area. I know last week, the Chubb Classic in Naples is about the same latitude as West Palm Beach there. They got a lot of rain, got canceled after 36 holes. They got a lot of rain last week. They got 9 inches of rain between December 12th and January 31st. So considering the fact they got a lot of rain last week, a lot of rain months leading up, probably might be a little bit of a soft golf course. Maybe the greens are a little more receptive this year. They also make a note that apparently El Nino has played havoc to the golf course. Apparently the turf grass and all that great there. I don't know. Maybe aesthetically it's not going to look all that good. Let's look at the weather forecast for next week, though. The only real day that with maybe a little bit of wind is Friday. Maybe gusts up to 18 miles per hour in the morning, subsiding during the day. Possible wave split. Still a little early to tell with that, but looks like maybe some rain on Saturday. Maybe not enough to stop play. So again, golf course might be a little soft for the most part. But again, the difficulty of this golf course, I mean, it could be the firmness, but it's really just keeping it online and not out of the water. But that's really the name of the game for this.
The place. Soft golf courses down here, it's been fucking raining. And hitting off of the shit, like the Bermuda when it's wet, is a fucking nightmare. Like, you dig. Like, it doesn't matter how steep you're coming in or how shallow, you're taking a chunk.
Yeah, I found that out when I played in Florida about a month ago. I was chunking everything. Because I'm more of a picker anyways. I don't hit the down on the ball a whole lot. And I could not make a contact on anything. So, all right. So let's talk about the course fit tool. Let's go a little bit out of order with this. And it's not helpful really at all this week. It doesn't really show anything. Like last week in Mexico, it showed driving distance. Huge edge here. Huge correlation. This is basically everything is kind of just online with the average PGA Tour golf course, except for driving accuracy. Is there's not as much of a correlation to how accurate you are off the tee to how well you do a PGA National, which is a little bit counterintuitive to what you might think with all the water, keep it in front of you. Well, I think the reason why, and we'll get to the stats, is no one's pulling driver at this place for the most part. It's all a lot of positional, a lot of irons off the tee, a lot of less than driver, three woods, fairway woods, all that stuff. So it kind of levels the playing field as far as off the tee stuff. We'll get into a little bit about how you separate yourself at this tournament. Off the tee is not how you do it. So that's why I think a lot of like looking at driving stats coming in, I don't know how useful it is because it's just measuring how you do with a driver and that you're not really doing that a whole lot.
Yeah.
So not a very helpful predictive skill set chart. And you can kind of see that when you look at the, you know, recent winners. So, all right. So Chris Kirk last year, accurate, good with the wedges and mid irons, you know, not a flashy golfer, not, you know, he's pretty short off the tee. Go back to 2022. He got, oh, that took me the wrong page here. Sepp Straka. You know, he's got some length, good driver. He's got a little bit of pop, really bad around the green though.
Yeah.
So, but he's a good iron player.
But just, so let me ask you this. So like, I feel like this is kind of like when we talk about TPC, like around the green, the stats aren't real because around the green is where you dump it in the fucking water around here.
Well, so I guess my, what I'm trying to get to a point of is like, okay, so like compare Chris Kirk to Sepp Straka to like Keith Mitchell.
Yeah.
Okay.
All different.
Three kind of different players.
Yeah.
Okay. Kirk is small ball, getting up and down, wedges, accuracy. Straka is pretty good ball striker. He's got some pop, pretty bad around the green. Keith Mitchell, he's a really long player, good long iron player. Like Sungjae is kind of a shorter player, but he's pretty accurate. Like it's just a bunch of like different types of guys. Matt Jones, he's got length. He's really good around the green. Can't we do anything else though? So it's just a lot.
That was my first big win on the podcast.
That was. We were fresh. You did. You hit that.
We were fresh too. Like I think we were like, we're probably like, what, like a month or two in?
No, we started at the Wyndham in 2020, and I think Billy Horschel ripped our hearts out the first episode.
Oh, that's right. Damn, yeah, we've been doing this fucking 4 years already.
Yeah, we're old, man.
Yeah. Damn.
I know. We've had a lot of scar tissue during that time. If I can remember that Billy Horschel screwed us at Wyndham 2020, we've had a lot of scar tissue.
Yeah, and then right after that, wasn't that the next week? Was that Kiz the next week?
It's St. Jude? No. No, Kisner was the RSM that fall.
RSM. Yeah,
when Robert Streb kalimata'd us, put it at 2 inches. Yeah, I was bragging to my brother-in-law. I'm like, oh, I'm going to hit this 50-1. It's going to be great. And then Robert fucking Streb happened. So anyways, my whole point is like
you've been beat by some fucking bums.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen my pain rankings? Yeah. Oh, anyways. Man. So my point being, like the predictive skill set chart, not really suggesting a particular type of player that does well here, kind of reveals itself in the guys who have been winning here. Matt Jones, Keith Mitchell, Sungjae Im, Chris Kirk, Sepp Straka. I can't really think of a lot of cross like comparisons to any of them. So maybe there's some iron play stuff that might be between all of them, but like otherwise, especially off the tee.
Yeah, they're way different.
Yeah, it's way different. So why don't we then go to the course table then? Well, obviously, as BK has pointed out when, being discussed with the fact that I don't think this is a great golf course because it's difficult. Yes, this in fact is a very difficult golf course. Since 2015, it features the 6 hardest par threes. Obviously, I showed you the bear trap. That's 2 of the par threes. Lot of water there into the prevailing wind. I think number 5 is like 200 yards, like over water as well.
Yep.
This is where all the car crashes happen and all the penalty strokes really happen is on these holes. And that's why, like, I think every year except for last year, which actually last year played kind of easy.
Easy.
I don't know if it was just, relatively easy. Like,
right.
Yeah, I think maybe it was a little bit more benign conditions. But other than that, though, like this is usually like top 5 hardest par threes in the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Every single year. Par fours are not that big of a cakewalk. Kind of depends on the conditions. But again, 23rd out of I think like 87 golf courses.
And they took away the hottest par four on the fucking
course. They did. So maybe I guess it'll technically.
I don't know why they did that. It's annoying. I'm annoyed by that.
Maybe Cognizant is being cognizant of the player's feelings and don't want to really
fuck the player's feelings. Soft ass fucking golfers.
Okay. Well, the point is, this is a hard golf course and it's mostly because of the water. Now, where is it hard? It's mostly hard with the ball striking. So it is difficult off the tee. I think it's because of the fact that you're not hitting driver a lot. There's not a lot of room. It's narrow. It's, you're pinching by bottleneck fairways and bunkers, and you can't just let it rip. So Data Golf estimates this is the 11th hardest out of like 87 golf courses on the PGA Tour since 2017. Where it's really difficult, though, is with the iron play, we'll leave that for a little bit. The thing is, though, like if you look at, let's go with the like the driving distances first. So, like last couple of weeks, we saw there was like a concerted change in, like a Riviera. That's good. It might be true. So at Riviera, we saw that there was a change in strategy. Guys just decided to just rip it everywhere. It didn't really matter. Like, you know, basically your score on a hole was not really impacted if you're in the rough or not. Mexico, everybody just ripped it. It's past Palom, it's wide fairways, whatever. Here, even though maybe a couple of years, we've seen a couple spikes in, you know, distances over the years, everything is still really small ball. I mean, last year, the average driving distance was 281.5. That's just a lot of positional plotting target golf at this point. And even despite that, like the drive accuracy rate is still like low 60s, high 50s. So it's tough. Like even though you're pulling irons and three woods, the way you sometimes got to shape the ball or fit into kind of tiny areas, it's not a very easy driving course. But despite all that, you know, the penalty to miss a fairway, which is surprising when I dug into this, because you think, all right, PJ National, hard driving golf course, because there just isn't a lot of room. It's tight, narrow. You know, a lot of water. It's actually not really one of the more penal golf courses to miss a fairway at. So it's only 47th.
Don't you think the water comes into effect more on the second shot anyway here?
Oh, you're ruining it, buddy. But you're feeling it.
Sorry.
You're getting to my point. Why don't we just get to that? It's not as penal off the tee as what you would think. Yeah. And it's because, as my very astute co-host, who has been doing this show for 4 years and hearing me just yammering over and over about this golf course, is in fact, the danger is the second shot.
Yeah.
And it's because that's where all the water is, specifically a lot of those par threes. But there's a bunch of other golf courses or greens with water right off the green. So you kind of got to tiptoe your way around. You can't get way out of position here at PJ National, but it's really the approach shot is where it's going to be the most difficult. And it actually features the second hardest shots over 150 of all golf courses, even majors, played in the PGA Tour since 2015.
Damn.
Yeah.
Really?
And you can see it was number one hardest for like four straight years from 2018 to 2021. They gave them a break last year. It was only the 11th hardest
out
of 45. Yeah, not too bad. And it's all water related at that point because it just is everywhere. Yeah. I mean, everybody's going to hit a water ball this week. You can't avoid it.
Yeah, it's a Florida golf course. Like, that's what sucks, man. Like, you know, golf balls are expensive. And even if you play like a good round down here, like, you're losing two or three balls. Like, even if you shoot like an 85, like, goodbye. Like, you're losing at least three fucking balls. There's water coming into play.
Yeah, I mean,
can we also point out?
Go ahead. No, go ahead. You go ahead.
No, mine's way off course. Let's look at Cameron's picture on whatever his YouTube thing is. That doesn't even look like Cam. He needs to update that shit. What is it? Like, you see that? It doesn't even look like him.
Okay.
I had to do a double take. I was like, what? No, that's not him.
Okay. I kind of wish I just steamrolled you there.
See, anyway. I told you to.
Anyways, where was my point? All right, so really, it's the ball striking here, off the tee, iron play. That's where it can get you. If you can successfully do both things, around the green's not all that difficult. Now, like you just mentioned, though, chipping off of the fairway here can be difficult, especially when it's soft. You know, it's above average difficulty of all golf courses in the PGA Tour, and that's Bermuda-based. But the rough, it's ryegrass overseed, only 2 inches, not very penal at all. The bunkers aren't seem like they're all that challenging either. So really, it's all about, again, like if you pull up a really good iron shot around the green, it's not that difficult. And putting, not really all that difficult either. Maybe a little bit difficult under 5 feet. Maybe that's the Bermuda with the grain there. But between 5 and 15 feet, not that difficult putts. Over 15 feet is actually one of the easier ones on the PGA Tour. You know, that's really about it for that. And then let's talk about how you separate yourself in tournament. So I talked about, doesn't seem like there is a typical profile driver here that does well. And we kind of saw this at Riviera a couple weeks ago. Just off the tee is just really de-emphasized here. That's not a great way to separate yourself with this thing. And neither distance or accuracy seems to have as big of an impact on how you do off the tee this week as it does at average PGA Tour golf courses. It really, for the most part, has come down to how you hit your irons. which again,
nope.
You have one guy that hits the green and one guy hits in the water. There's a giant delta in your strokes gained.
Yeah.
So I'm not breaking any news that in play, iron play is really important this week. And then again, like just how you putt it around the green. Again, it just doesn't seem like it's very impactful to your total source gain. So really, I guess. And then the last thing, you know, your approach shot distribution chart, it's basically a concept between 125 and 200. So like middle-ish irons for the most part. Reminds me a lot of like, I think Sony Wylie has a very like similar distribution for approach shots. I think RSM has a similar one. Those are both shortest tracks that like, yeah, you know, you're not really overpowered with the driver. It sets up a lot of like middle irons for the most part. That's basically the range you got to look at this week as far as if you're looking at proximity or strokes gained per shot is between like 125 and 200. So I guess like as far as what I'm looking for, again, like there doesn't seem like there's a really big prototype of who can do well here. I guess I'm and like with this golf course too, course history can sometimes get thrown out the window because if you just don't have it, you get screwed. I think I'm really just going to rely a lot on just like really short term, like form. Guys are in their irons pretty good because I don't really know how to handicap off the tee.
You've changed so much. You would never have looked at short term. You would have never looked at short term history. It's beautiful.
Maybe that's why it hasn't been all that. Maybe that's why I haven't been all that successful in this tournament. Maybe I'm just looking at so much long term stuff and expecting them to hit their baselines. They don't.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just going to look at that.
Lowry's surprisingly consistent, though. Lowry seems like he has the most consistent history here, but he's playing like dog shit right now.
He played okay at Phoenix. So he was on the wrong side of the draw.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't think he played Riviera.
No.
And he obviously didn't play last week. So he's playing okay. You know who's hitting the ball pretty good lately? I brought this up in their text chat. Yeah, I mean, Daniel Berger's shown pretty good ball striking.
I'm curious to see what he opens at. It's because you put that goddamn earworm in, and like I'm like, that thing has a three in front of it. It's an auto bet.
I know. So he lost to Paddy Harrington here, I think in like 2015. He obviously blew that 6-shot lead in 2022. that broke your heart and then later broke my heart. Yeah. But he's shown a couple good tournaments of ball striking. Now, it seems like around the green and putting has been an issue for him. That's probably just rust at this point, but we're going to have him back on Bermuda. Maybe just getting back some of his natural instincts on this stuff can kind of kickstart him there. He's obviously good here. Yeah. You know, he's been hitting a lot of fairways and hitting his irons good. You know, I'm curious what his number is going to be. I don't know. I probably just got to look at the board and see how everybody else is doing. Those are probably two guys that kind of come to mind.
I'm betting Eric Cole. I don't give a fuck what the number is. Betting him. He deserves the word.
Dirt McGirt, he's asking, will another greater than 51 hit this weekend?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of star power up at the top there. I mean, Sungjae's not playing all that good right now. Justin Rose is probably one of the bigger names. He's not playing all that good right now. Cam Young's not playing all that great right now. So, I don't know. I think top of the board is kind of vulnerable this week. Ricky's in the field. He's probably going to be like...
stinks.
Well, that's my point. Like, he's probably going to be like 35, 40 to 1 because he's been good here. And he's not playing all that great. So, yeah, I think top of the board is kind of vulnerable this week. So if you get a guy, you know, playing a lot of golf, playing a lot of decent golf, especially hitting the irons good, you know, maybe that can work for him this week. And maybe we do get another guy over 50 to 1 winning.
Yeah, and Dirk McGirt is like the best fucking name. And I'd love the fact that somebody else put ODB what's his name? William McGirt. What the hell's his name? Who's the golfer? That's why I like
William McGirt.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's Dirk McGirt. Let's go, baby. Because I love Wu-Tang.
All right.
I don't have that horrible golfer is.
All right. I don't know. I don't have anything else. You have anything else?
No, that's it. And fuck you, BK. He doesn't have zero chance to win.
Okay. Well, I mean, if the world is on him. Although, you know what? The world was on Jake Knapp this week, and he held the weight on his shoulders, his big shoulders. Do you think Eric Cole can hold all that weight on his shoulders this week?
I think so. I think so.
You think so?
I think he's built for it. He's in his 30s. He's ready to win.
What if, all right, so what's, okay, let me ask you a question. What number would he have to be for you to pause on betting him?
Like 22.
22.
Yeah.
He might be 22.
He's not going to be 22. There's too many big names up there.
I don't know. Like, what big names other than Rory? Like, seriously.
Yeah, Fitzy. Fitz
is not Lowry. Fitz is playing like trash right now. I don't know about that. I mean, maybe Fitz is like 15, 17 to 1. Let me pull up my article here. It'll be out tomorrow, but I got the biggest name in the field.
Lowry, okay. Fitz. Fuck, Benny Hinn might have a bigger name at this point.
All right. So my notables I put were Daniel Berger, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Ricky Fowler, Sungjae Im, Tom Kim, who's playing like garbage right now.
Yeah.
Shane Lowry, JT Poston, Justin Rose, Cam Young. I didn't even put Eric Cole on
shorter than him.
I didn't even put Eric Cole on the notables there.
See? Disrespect.
No, that's because I think the general consumer might not know who Eric Cole is.
That's fair.
Only degenerate gamblers really know Eric.
Benny Hinn might actually be a decent player this week. I wonder what he comes out at.
Possibly. I think if he's hitting his irons, okay. So, although
I'm happy Florida Golf's back. I get my fucking early sweats on Thursday. I have to wait around till fucking lunch. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't have anything else. You have anything else?
Nah, that's it. So we got our Tuesday show and a Wednesday show this week.
Well, we're going to have to record both on Tuesday.
Yeah, but when they're released, they don't.
Yes. Wednesday will be Live Jetta. We'll talk
about betting. We're betting. Who are we betting?
I don't know yet.
No, we talked about it. You put a fucking great little scenario.
Oh, Mito? So here's the thing. So Mito ended up on Saturday shooting +4, but he was -6 on Sunday, declined a T4. And he actually hit the ball pretty good on Sunday. Right. And I saw his odds moved actually from 65 to 50. So I've already won the week. I've won the CLV.
Oh, CLV, baby.
So there we go. I'm just going to put it on my fridge and just cash it right there. But Mito, I think, is one I've already bet there. I can't wait to show you King Abdullah Economic City, though. It's just a vibrant place to be. And yeah, I really am looking forward to it.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this shit.
Yeah. Can you sense the sarcasm in my voice?
No.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Matt's got his show fucking tomorrow night, breaking down DFS. Go listen to him. Shap Kid fucking came in second this week. That's what he gets for betting on a fin. Grass soured me on all Finnish people. Worst goalie. Most hype in Boston Bruins history. The worst. Andy Moog was fucking better. Anyway, we'll be back on Tuesday to break this down. I'm super excited for this week. I love when Florida Golf's back because that means I'm going to the Players soon. And then now I'm going to the Masters right after. Let's fucking go.